Tonight we talk about the holiday of Passover, when family and friends gather together to read the Passover Haggadah, enjoy dinner, discuss the Seder plate and the story of the Exodus and the Israelites' freedom from slavery. The National Museum of American Jewish History, located in Philadelphia, has initiated a Seder dedicated to freedom, seeing Passover not only as a commemoration of Jewish culture and history, but also as an opportunity to celebrate the universal pursuit of freedom, regardless of race, creed, or religion. The Freedom Seder, as it is known, was inspired by the original Freedom Seder held on April 4, 1969, at a church in Washington, D.C., and that date marked the first anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King and the third night of Passover. The Jewish and African-American communities joined together to hold a Passover Seder in the spirit of solidarity, healing, courage, and community. And to help us learn more about the Freedom Seder at the National Museum of American Jewish History is my guest this evening, Emily August, Director of Public Programs at the National Museum of American Jewish History. She will help us learn more about the Freedom Seder, which is a public event held annually, and help us to understand the intertwining of the story of the Exodus and the struggle for civil rights. It is a pleasure to welcome Emily August, Director of Public Programs at the National American Museum of Jewish History, to help us take charge of our lives.
Thanks, Eleanor. It's great to be talking with you.
So how many Freedom Seders have been held so far?
This is our fifth one here at the museum. We started in 2013, and we have continued to grow and shape it ever since, and we just love this event. It's our favorite one that we do all year.
And when you call it the Freedom Seder, is it attended by many different people of different faiths, different races?
Yes, absolutely. One of our main goals as a museum every day is to be an open door for all. We tell the stories of American Jews. We tell the stories of American history through the lens of Jewish experience, through the lens of a particular immigrant community's experiences, a religious minority's experiences, but we tell them right here on Independence Mall. And so our intention is always to invite visitors of all backgrounds to think about the themes that we explore through this very particular experience and understand that meaning in their own lives. So helping visitors to think about how heritage and identity and history has informed who they are today, even though we tell the stories through this particular lens. And so with Freedom Seder, we do the same thing. We invite visitors of all backgrounds. We work with community partners who represent diverse faith and cultural organizations to come together with us to help co-present. And we use this traditionally Jewish framework to explore themes that are much broader and relevant to Americans of all backgrounds.
And when you say explore themes of much more relevance to all Americans of different backgrounds, what themes are you talking about?
The primary theme is the meaning of freedom in America. It's a very complex thing to think about the meaning of freedom in America and hyphenated identities and how you think about how where you came from informs who you are today. And so we invite storytellers, instead of retelling the Exodus narrative as one would at a traditional Passover Seder, we invite storytellers who represent a diversity of perspectives to share a personal story about the meaning of freedom in their lives. And so in doing, they're able to help attendees of all backgrounds find those connections. When they think about history, it's not something that happened a long time ago. It's something that has through lines to today and is very much resonant. So a lot of our stories perhaps are connected to immigrant narratives. We have a young woman this year who is an artist and an activist speaking about her experience coming to this country and an earlier point in her life coming out as undocumented and what a difficult experience that was for her and how she was both experiencing the really blessings of freedom that America was offering her and her family, but all of the challenges and complexities that came with it as a new immigrant to this country, which is deeply connected to the stories we tell in the museum of Jews coming to this country throughout the more than 360 years of American Jewish history, and what they were experiencing when they first came here.
Well, I think that's – I'm glad you mentioned that. Can you give us an example of a story that one of your storytellers has told, or a couple of examples, actually? You told us one about this person who came and was undocumented. Can you give us another example of a person seeking freedom or finding freedom in America?
Absolutely. There is another gentleman who's telling a story this year. He himself is a Japanese American, and as a young boy, he actually lived for a time in an internment camp during World War II. So he talks a little bit about his experience, and again, the thinking about the challenges and blessings of freedom in this country and how it's often complicated when you're a hyphenated American, as Jewish Americans were and are. And so he tells the story of that experience and also the experience of his mother, who had difficulty traveling back and forth, even though she was an American citizen. And this resonates so deeply with the stories we tell every day of families divided by oceans and again, the challenges and blessings that come with that.
How does it help to develop compassion for one another, do you think, when we talk about our different stories? In other words, how do we mm-hmm. gather an understanding of one another through the telling of our stories?
There's something very powerful about listening to someone else's story when that person comes from a completely different background from you and hearing resonances. So if someone is talking about the way they learned about their food heritage in their grandmother's kitchen, and it's one of the people is a Jewish person and one of the person is a Latino, and they're sharing stories about the food traditions they learned from the generations that came before them, there's something that's really compelling and connected when you can celebrate both shared and divergent experiences. And so Freedom Seder, our Freedom Seder Revisited program here at the museum, really does that. It celebrates the universal in the particular. So you might be hearing a particular person's story or perspective, but undoubtedly you will find something in there that has meaning in your own life and makes you think about the history that came before you and what stories you will carry forward into the next generation, which is so resonant with what a history museum strives to do every day. There are so many parallels between the framework of a traditional Passover Seder and what a history museum does. We tell stories about things that happened in the past. We try to make them meaningful for today. We try to help the next generation understand why it's important to think about what happened before you. We ask questions. We think about what it might have been like to live in a different time or experience something. We come together. We welcome the stranger. That's another sort of tenet of a traditional Passover experience, is to invite the stranger, to bring someone to the Passover table who hasn't had a chance to do that before.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, we're talking about the Freedom Seder that is offered at the American Jewish Museum of History in Philadelphia. And my guest this evening is Emily August, Director of Public Programs at the National Museum of American Jewish History. And we're talking about the Freedom Seder. I think that's very well said, so that people identify the fact that one person is talking about how they learned from their grandmother, you know, maybe chicken soup, and a person from a Latin American and Latin background is talking about a different thing they learned from their grandmother. That kind of really gives us compassion for one another, that we may come from different backgrounds, but we share some very similar experiences. Would you agree with that, Emily?
Yes. I at the National Museum of American Jewish History, that's really what we do every day. We tell stories through a particular lens, but do them in a way that encourages people to consider how they're universally experienced.
So that we really have a bond we develop a bond with one another, and it's kind of almost an aha experience. Why, we're similar. We come from different backgrounds, but we're seeking the same. We're seeking freedom. We're seeking respect. We're seeking family, love, and story. Is that correct?
I think, Eleanor, you've just summed up kind of the spirit in the room at Freedom Seder, because the room is set in round tables, and people sit next to someone they might not have known when they come in, and they hear these stories together. And then during dinner, we lead some small group facilitated conversations. Members of different community groups lead those conversations. And people walk away not being strangers anymore. And there's just a wonderful, warm spirit in the room when people come together and share something, share a meal, share a story, share a laugh, share a tear. There are often a lot of all of those things at Freedom Seder, and it breaks down barriers.
That is a very good word. Say that again.
It breaks down barriers.
And opens doors.
There are real and perceived barriers between people of different backgrounds. Maybe two strangers sitting next to each other at a program here at the museum don't necessarily think they'd have something in common. But they realize that they can celebrate their differences and find ways that they are connected. And by being more connected and by coming together and sharing positive experiences, we move forward. We move our work forward. We kind of have this tikkun olam thing, which is this notion of repairing the world. We make the world a little bit of a better place if we work together and we have compassion for one another and we can appreciate difference and celebrate shared experience.
And we're going to talk more about the Freedom Seder that is being offered at the National Museum of American Jewish History when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY. Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. This evening we're talking about a third Seder, or called the Freedom Seder, which is held at the National Museum of American Jewish History, which originated, in 2010. Is that correct?
2013 was our first one here.
The first one here. And tell us again the object of the Freedom Seder.
The goal of the Freedom Seder is to inspire people to feel like history is present and understand the meaning of their own past in their lives today by exploring universal themes. And in this case, we explore the meaning of freedom in America today, inspired by the themes of a traditional Passover experience and using the stories of people who represent diverse faiths and backgrounds.
And this year you are having a Seder, when is it conducted? Is it conducted it's not conducted the first or second night, it's conducted during the week. Is that accurate?
We hold our event usually the week preceding Passover. For those who observe Passover, it gets a little crazy as you get closer to the holiday, cooking and everything. So we learned that lesson the hard way. And so we hold our event just before Passover so that people are thinking about the themes and people can reflect upon them at their own seders or other spring season experiences that they may be having, but we hold it beforehand. And I should mention, Eleanor, that this year's event, as always, is now completely sold out, but there is a live webcast available, and we encourage anyone who might like to get a taste of what the event is about or hear some really compelling personal stories about what freedom in America means to some of our storytellers to check out our website, NMAJH, NM is a national museum, AJH.org, and follow the links to the live feed. It begins at 6:30 next Wednesday, April 5th, and it's sure to be a really moving evening.
So it starts next Wednesday?
Yes.
And if you miss the live, is it recorded so people can tune in later?
Yes, we record it as well, and we'll post it on our website.
And the website is?
NMAJH.org.
Say that again. N is in Nancy.
N is in Nancy. It's really N is in National, M is in Museum, AJH.org.
Very good. Okay. From your experience, can you tell us a story or two that exemplifies how people have made an understanding and have reached compassion and acceptance of one another?
Sure. I think an interesting example of something a participant shared with us after the event was a woman who attended, and she's kind of a culture vulture. She's out and about in the community attending all kinds of cultural events. And she said, may I read you a quote?
Oh, absolutely.
She said, "The Freedom Seder was an eye and heart opening experience for me. sitting at a table with three students from Cheney University and one of their professors, a musician, a mother of three who follows Jewish traditions, and an African-American cultural leader was both refreshing and totally comfortable. Questions about foods and traditions came naturally. Conversations flowed with ease and a good spirit. The program was inspiring. I was very impressed and left with a sense of joy for having shared a great moment. I have told all my friends and family that they must try to participate. And I say that not to sound self-serving at all, but rather to try to describe the kinds of experiences that people have when they're actually in the room talking to each other and sharing something.
How has the comparison between the Exodus and the struggle for civil rights been connected in the Freedom Seder?
So our Freedom Seder draws its inspiration, as you mentioned, Eleanor, from the original 1969 Freedom Seder,
right,
which was a coming together of predominantly Black and Jewish communities during the height of the Civil Rights Movement. And so our contemporary event connects to that in a few ways. The first is we, of course, acknowledge the tradition that we're reimagining and carrying forward. Second, one of the founders and leaders of the original Freedom Seder, Rabbi Arthur Wasko, participates in the event. So he himself is kind of a connection to this original moment. And in terms of civil rights, so many of the stories where storytellers are sharing their very personal encounters with freedom in this country are all about civil rights. Maybe not capital C civil rights movement, but about rights and treating each other with respect.
Can you give us an example of that?
One of our speakers this year is a young lawyer who himself is a refugee from the former Soviet Union. The Soviet Jewry movement was the fight to get Soviet Jews out of the former Soviet Union who were being persecuted. And so he has a very interesting and more contemporary refugee story. But one of the things he talks about is his experience in this country and how it was difficult as a refugee. It was difficult as an immigrant. And his experience in America, you know, it wasn't all about the blessings of freedom that America provided. It was about the challenges, too, and how he has used all of those experiences to shape his work today, which is all about peaceful conflict resolution. So that's an example of someone who experienced an absence of rights in his home and came here, and it wasn't at first as liberating as he had hoped it would be because it's a difficult experience. And we talk about that and invite questions and encourage people to ask those questions. You know, what is a freedom you celebrate, and what is a freedom you might not have that you wish for? And these can be big freedoms about civil rights and equality, and they can be smaller freedoms in your own lives, challenges within your own family, or things you aspire to do or be in life. And so there's a seat literally for everyone at the table, except when we sell out, and then they have to have a seat at the live.
Well, it really sounds like a very inspiring evening where people come and are expecting perhaps a formal Seder and find a very different kind of Seder experience. And Seder, by the way, means order. So everything goes in order, but it is an opportunity to understand people who have different backgrounds and different heritages and how we are all related and respect one another. Is that accurate?
Well said, Eleanor.
So this year's Seder, the Freedom Seder, is completely filled. And give us a website where we can see an example of the Seder going on.
Sure. So anyone interested can watch the live cast. It's open to the public, and that will be there'll be a link on the homepage of our website, nmajh.org. And previous Freedom Seders, it's a little complicated to give you the link, but if you follow the links to past programs on our website and scroll down, you can see clips from previous Freedom Seder events to hear some of the stories that have been told in previous years.
So can you give us an example of another story that really piqued your interest and your compassion from previous Seders that you recall?
One of my favorite stories was from a poet and educator named Jacob, who shared the story a few years ago about literally retracing his grandfather's steps. His grandfather was Jewish and had fled the former Yugoslavia, and he returned to his grandparents' neighborhood and tried to understand the experience that he had. And he actually met with someone, or the descendant of someone, whose family had helped his grandfather escape. And when we talk about the notion of an Exodus narrative and a journey, he literally retraced his grandfather's steps, his grandfather who had a very real Exodus experience during a time of great difficulty. And to hear him describe what it is like to literally put yourself in the footsteps really brought that past to life in a resonant way. I think so many of us, for me personally, I didn't think to ask my grandparents or my great-grandparents some of the questions I would like to ask them now that I'm an adult. And to hear this young person care so much about history and heritage and wanting to understand where he came from, so much so that he, you know, flew across an ocean and tried to make sense of it, was really powerful and resonated with everyone in the room.
I think you're talking about a young man who traced his background to the time of World War II. Is that accurate?
Yes, yes. I should have clarified that. Yes.
Yes. So he became interested in tracing the background of his own grandfather who escaped. And,
correct.
And learning about the environment that he was in. That was very powerful. And tell me one thing. During the Seder, do you have the Seder plate and the various traditions of a Seder? Are they included?
We include some traditional Passover elements in our Seder. We also informally and lovingly describe it as not your grandmother's Seder because it's really a kind of a reimagined format, and we acknowledge that it's not the traditional format. But what we do is we'll pause for moments in between stories to explain something of a traditional element. So, for example, when we talk about the four questions, which is a moment in a traditional Seder where the youngest at the table, the children, get to ask questions, and it's really the adult's opportunity to explain to them why they're doing all of these rituals and learning about this past and helping to make it meaningful for them, we'll explain that in the room and use it as an opportunity to transition to the next story, which may be an intergenerational one. And, you know, and here's a storyteller who is going to explain how they learned about where they came from, you know, and it's a chance to acknowledge the young people in the room when we have university students present, or even sometimes high school students present, to say, you know, history is about teaching the next generation. So that's an example of a way that we incorporate a traditional Passover element in kind of a non-traditional way.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful experience and a wonderful opportunity to get to know people from different backgrounds and to recognize that we are, while we have different stories to tell, we all share the humanity and quest for freedom, for respect, for compassion and understanding. I want to thank you, Emily August, Director of Public Programs at the National Museum of American Jewish History, for helping us to take charge of our lives by helping us to understand that we, when we know not only our own history and culture, but also that of our neighbors, we engender compassion when we understand what we share as humans and not how we differ. I want to thank you, Emily August, for helping us to take charge of our lives. Thank you all for listening, and see you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.